Back. Hello, welcome to Just One Game. I'm your host, Rob. Welcome to 40K Thursday. The title of the show is "Aura Abilities Are Nerfed, Marines Are Useless Forever." That's right, it's a clickbait title. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Rob. I'm joined by my wonderful two co-hosts, Nikos.
Hello.
And also featuring Tom's Curtains, Tom.
Sorry, I'm just looking for an appropriate backing noise, backing video for Robert Streamers.
Hi, Tom, how are you?
Kind of exclusive content. I am very excited to be here, Rob, as you can probably tell.
I can.
From my voice.
All I know is that later on, everyone in the Twitch chat is going to be doing some sort of hilarious green screening with your vest top. That's what I'll be doing later.
I want to see.
I think they'll mostly be just putting flesh color over it right now.
Yeah, let's hope so. Oh, thanks also for subscribing, Tom. Welcome to everyone in the chat. Mamdare, Gersey, Queeks, the Scott B. Sorry again, Pokey John, Diadrin, the founder, creator, and protector of the Diachasm, and Wolf Priest Kajal. What up? Whoa, Tom is pretty much naked with his tank and slippers. I agree. Right, so 40K. Today's show has been brought to you by the Honest Wargamer Patreons and everyone who subscribes on Twitch, like Diadrin just did. And I've missed you guys. That's my first thing I want to say. I have missed you. That's what's been going on.
Well, you were here last week.
Last Thursday?
Yeah, you were here last week. You were just very, very quiet.
Did you put a picture of me up?
We did put a picture of you up.
Oh my god!
And you said a lot. You said a lot of controversial things.
Did I?
I know how I move this image around on my background so people can see the man feeding the other man whipped cream out of a can?
We do not know, Tom. Do the podcast. You should have set this up beforehand. This is your own fault.
All right, well, that's what you're getting.
You're getting it. That's what you're doing. You're getting it. I'm happy to be back. So thank you very much. I've missed a bit of 4DK. And it's nice to know that since I've been gone, absolutely nothing. I mean, there's been some monumental changes that are going to happen, as per usual with 40K. But there's been no actual changes to what's going on right now.
No. Changes afoot.
We did complain when there were changes. So I feel like I'd be a hypocrite now if I went and said, why are there no changes? So yeah, I'm happy with the state of the game because I don't have to learn anything new.
Okay, that's true. But there will be changes to the game, which will be the discussion point today, right?
I'll complain about it.
Yeah, we've tried to do unit rolls, but obviously with everything changing right now, literally everything, there's no point. There's no point, which is nice because everyone can just like redo all their content they made last week.
Hooray!
Hey.
Content farm will go.
Yeah, it's the 40K content farm is what Games Workshop have done. They've made a bunch of content producers work out of their pockets for Games Workshop. And now they're like feeding the content producers. Yeah, they're just like, they're feeding them. Like, don't worry, guys, we'll never give them a game.
That's the quid pro quo. There it is.
Yeah.
You do the work and we give you content.
We'll do half the job for 4 years and you could talk about each change as we go through.
I mentioned this because I read White Dwarf this month, and in it there was an interview of Robin Credus, and he was saying, "Oh, we want to make 40K more dynamic." And then watching him list things that he called dynamic, things like obscuring terrain, which is totally new to 9th. We've never had such a thing. We do exactly the same role in any edition before, right? That apparently adds dynamism to 40K.
And so not seeing things adds dynamism.
And mission adds dynamism. Nothing about the mission, just mission.
Just missions.
Missions. It was like asking, the analogy I used was asking a mechanic how a car works, and the mechanic says, car, turn, key, go.
Wouldn't it be car good because of wheels?
Yeah, like there's a whole big bit in the middle that you're kind of missing that you alone can provide the unique perspective on, right? Because I don't understand how any of that actually adds dynamism.
Do you expect a magician to reveal their tricks?
Yeah, sorry, I thought
the Games Workshop are like so far above all the other games designers that they need to keep secrets locked in house, like the Krabby Patty secret formula.
Krabby Patties?
Rob's too old for that reference.
What the hell is a Krabby Patty? A SpongeBob SquarePants reference? No, it's just too poor. SpongeBob wasn't on regular TV.
No, I know it was on Nickelodeon, but sometimes we went on holiday to Whitby, and in this cottage that we got in Whitby for a week, they had Sky TV. And so rather than doing anything on holiday, my brother and I would just sit in the bedroom and just binge SpongeBob.
Oh, okay. Well, that's pretty good. Yeah, I didn't have that even. We didn't even go to Whitby. Like, I don't think. I used to go outside and just, like, hit a tennis ball against the wall.
You had, like, a stick open or a wheel.
A tennis ball?
Yeah.
Well, when I was younger, all I had was a fence which had holes in and a rolled up bit of newspaper that I scrunched into a ball.
That's pretty cool.
Didn't know you were born, mate, with a tennis ball. Bloody hell.
Okay, well, I apologise about that. Oh, dear. Right, all right. Sweet. So
we've already got some 40k content in here, Rob. It's great.
I know. Were you happy, Tom, with the Robin Crunch interview, or are you not? You're not.
I'm sensing
a disappointment, Tom.
I was moulding in the corner, and my colleague was asking why I was sighing and grumping so much, and I was like, "Yeah, there's this guy in this magazine, and he's talking about the game."
Do you think peak 40k content for us in the future would be just reviewing?
Or just be sat there going. That's the peak content, right?
Yeah. Right. Growing up, I remember holidays in the caravan in Wales reading White Dwarf. Dear God, I'm glad you escaped. Is all I can say. Sorry again. I'm glad you escaped.
Hey, wait, sorry again. Are you Welsh?
Who, me?
No, I'm asking. Sorry again.
Sorry again. He is Welsh. I'm not sure he's really right. Being the Welsh ETC team. Like, immediately. Nick, how have you been? What's been going on in 40k, and how are your chrome dar?
I've been all right. I've been vibrating. That's a new hip word I've learned from Tom.
Vibing.
Vibing. Okay. Yeah, I'm all good. My chrome dar are currently on pause because my hobby desk is simultaneously my work desk and computer desk all in one. So to dismantle my work and computer desk, I have to put it away every time if I want to use my hobby desk. So my hobby time is kind of limited at the minute. So I've made a bit of a start. I've done some test models on it. But I'm kind of putting it on pause for a little bit for now. But I'm pleased with how it's gone, and I'm definitely going to finish it at some point soon. I played a couple of games.
The other day you were telling us all about your brand new Necron list. Remember you were like, how did it go?
Yeah, so I schemed this great new Necron list. I thought, right, you know, troops and OBSEC units are going to be really good. You know, troops in transport that can fly and are fast are really good. Mm-hmm. MSU's really good. So I had like three Ghost Arcs with 10 Necron Warriors in. Mm-hmm. I had six minimum size units of Destroyers because you can take them in units of one. And then I thought, you know, I'll throw in some Knight Scythes to drop in some troops on some objectives as well. Mm-hmm. So I played a game yesterday against James's new Tyranid army and got absolutely smashed 25-77.
Like, really badly.
Like massively hammered. I scored five primary points.
So what you're telling me is you got 22 out of your secondaries.
I got 20. But so I got 20 secondaries and 5 primaries.
So what you're telling me is you got almost half your secondaries, despite getting smashed.
Yes.
Good.
But, like, I scored 5. Yeah, so the list kind of worked. Like, the troops held objectives quite well, but... I think the issue with, obviously, I know Necron Codex is coming out very soon, so I think they're pointed as if they have the new Codex, but they're the old Codex rules.
I really bloody hope not. Yeah, the rooms are going to be busted if that's the case.
Well, yeah, I suppose actually that's the point.
I hope that's true, Nick. Nick, I want you to know that I hope that Necrons are, like, so busted. Like, 80% win rate. Like, absolutely face roll busted is what I hope.
It would be nice.
Yeah.
But just, it was kind of maybe it was just a perfect storm of James's list being a half decent counter to a very terrible Necron list.
Is it true that James Workshop is always list writing against you? I always feel that that's true. He's always like, out what to beat you with.
He does play 85% of his games against me, so probably.
And Nikos plays all his games in all of his lists exactly the same way, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. In fact, that wasn't true, actually. The last time I played you, you didn't drop anything down turn three, so that was kind of cool.
Yeah, it was all on the board.
Yeah. It was all right.
He's adapting. I've always thought you played different lists, Nick. I just want you to know that. I just want you to do that. So have you decided to go back to the drawing board on the Necrons, or are you going to hold off?
So what I've decided is, obviously, I was going to hold off playing Necrons until the Necron Codex completely came out, because I thought, what's the point playing with the old book? Because there's a new book coming out. But as it's edging ever closer, I'm kind of getting a bit more excited, and there's a little bit of optimism creeping in, which is deeply unnerving.
That's what happens when I edge. Get excited, optimism, yeah. All sorts.
It's deeply disturbing, feeling some optimism. But I thought I may as well like crack out my Necrons, because they were in one of my display cabinets. So I thought I'd swap my Marines into the display cabinet, get my Necrons out, get back into the army, ready for when the Codex drops, and then I'm hitting the ground running. So I thought, you know, I'll try a different style of list. Like against Tom, I played lots of vehicles, and I had like some Tomb Blades and stuff like that. But this one was like loads of Necron Warriors and transports and ways to get the warriors about the board. So I just tried that style of list, and lots of MSU destroyers, but that just didn't work out very well.
Okay,
but well, with the new style reanimation protocols, that list could be a little bit better.
Yeah, I can imagine. And all the other buffs that you're going to get, potentially.
Like, because I know that the Night Scythe weapons, the Tesla Destructors, I know that they're going to get a profile boost, because, like, I think that plane is like 130 points. Yes, you can transport troops, but you can drop troops around the battlefield. But, like, shooting output and defense is really not very tough. Like, it's a 3-up save, toughness 6, with -1 to hit, 12 wounds. That's pretty standard. It's nothing special. And the damage output is like 8 shots, hitting on 3s, strength 7, no AP. Yes, it's got the Tesla, so you can every now and then get a few shots, but on average, it just works out as 8 hits. And it's rather underwhelming, basically.
Okay. Do you think, like in the lore question, everyone, are the Necrons meant to be at, you know, like, are they Marine? Like, no, there's meant to be more than there are Marines. There's not as elite as Marines, right? Like,
no.
Like, above Orc boys, obviously, but apart from maybe, I don't know, the Destroyers or any of those guys?
Yeah, I think Necron Warriors are kind of, between Marines and, like, Imperial Guard level of hordes. But then, I think the Destroyers are more elite than Marines, probably.
Okay. All right, well, interesting. Interesting. So you're not gonna bring them out yet again until the book is out?
I probably will. So until then, I'll probably alternate between them and my Chromedar for games, but like try a lot of different style Necron lists. Like I still like love throwing them on the table, because I like how I've painted my Necrons. Like I like the croissants. I like the annihilation barges, and I've converted my Tomb Blades to be mini annihilation barges. So I like seeing them on the table, and they're pretty fun to play, even though they suck currently. But hopefully they'll get better.
Yeah, agreed. Tom, have you played any 40k recently? Have you been doing any 40k?
Sorry, I've got grass all over my hands. That was like the worst possible time I could have gone across. I have not played any 40k, but if I was only a player, I'd be missing out on so much of the hobby, you see.
Okay. Take me where you're going. Games. Yeah, take me where you're going.
Definitely transitioned to being more of a hobbyist than player.
I haven't done any hobby either.
Such a builder.
But that's not quite true. I've been painting some bits and bobs. It's just been, I've gone back to work, obviously, so I haven't had as much time as I normally do, specifically in summers or in pandemics, to actually get anything painted, right?
Yeah.
But I have got some stuff done. I'm about to finish painting my Chaos Lord with a jump pack, which was a fucking horrible experience. And the reason it was fucking horrible is because he's made of fine cast.
Okay.
And therefore, he is covered in bubbles and splinters and all sorts of utter shite. And also, I've been trying to do this color scheme, which is like, I tried to do like a pre-Heresy Death Guard kind of color scheme, but not quite. The problem is, when I started doing it, it started to look more like Space Wolves with the tone of gray. So I've had to tighten it up a little bit more towards a white end, which is kind of like tricky. And that also means I'm having to do more coats. So I've done quite a bit of that. This guy's almost finished. I just need to glue him to his scenic base because he's on top of like some fine cast grass stuff.
Okay.
Which then I left him in the cabinet and I could see over summer as he slowly bent over because as a fine cast melted. So I've re-standard that guy. He'll be getting plonked on his base in a minute. I've also been painting some Eldar.
Did you have to reshape him, the fine cast dude?
Not really. I was most of the melting happened on like the bottom end, so it's kind of like fine. I've also been painting like some Eldar weapons batteries. Ooh. So here I have a D cannon, and I'm painting it in an old scheme that I used for my Dark Eldar in 2015, where it was just black, and then I just like picked out highlights with like red to make it look like it was glowing. So you'll get some better pictures on Twitter later on when it's finished. But I think what I've done is I've gone around with like corn red, a dark red. And then that has been gone over with Mephiston, and then an orange, and then a yellow, and then a white as you go towards like corners. So I've been enjoying painting that, and I feel like it makes the black pop a bit, but you have to be very careful with it. So I've been enjoying painting that. I finished my Grandmaster Voldus, that is now on the side. And I have got five more Grey Knights out that I'm going to finish up. And I finished painting my Scrab Launch of my Ogre Moor tribes. And now I'm working on a second Mornfan Cavalry who blows horns.
Okay.
There is.
Yeah. I know that we're in 2020, not because of the pandemic, not because of anything else, because I just listened to Tom do a full 5-minute wrap up of his hobby, like a full, he's like, fuck you guys, I'm going in. Yeah, he's like, I got this, I'm doing this, I'm on that. I don't know if you know, but I'm trimming red. I don't know if you guys have heard, but you can thin down your paints. I'm fucking all about that too.
I don't even thin down my paints.
You guys heard of Lemon Medium?
I literally just use air paints. Oh my God. I just use air paints straight out the bottle. That way I don't have to bother thinning it down with lots
Agreed,
of shit.
Agreed, baby. That's actually one of my things. Like, so I'm really into... So obviously, and I mean this with all due respect, fuck Games Workshop paints. I'm super into...
This is a Games Workshop air paint.
Well, no, hold on. I'm super into either Army Painter or Vallejo stuff, and the Vallejo stuff has got arguably a more consistent consistency. Like, it's more consistent. But the Army Painter stuff is thinner, generally, I found. So, like, if I want to paint really seriously, I end up using the Army Painter stuff. But if I want to just, like, put really good quality-looking colours on, I end up using the Vallejo stuff. And I've started using different inks. So I'm currently painting Skaven while we talk right now. But I washed one in the Games Workshop red, and now I've started using the Army Painter red tone, and it's like a lot thinner. So you still get that same thing, but I always when I wash stuff, I end up with like a kind of like horrible texture on like an armor plate. You know,
streaking.
No,
you need
not even
to
that.
Use like a matte varnish, use matte varnishes or stuff like that, or like even the Vallejo, like the Lemay and medium, and that'll take it down, right?
Yeah, Nick, I more mean like you end up like it just pulls and is a bit like gross. But I used the red tone from Iron Painter, and I quite liked it. Like it was, I would say I'll put some pictures on Twitter, but it's not worth looking at. I just like everyone to know this is not a hobbyist tip that anyone should give a shit about. I'd like everyone to be conscious of. That's all I've got to say on this.
I think I'm about to paint a sculpt that's older than me, actually. If anyone can check what the age of an Eldar Guardian sculpt is, I very much appreciate it.
Okay. Also, I did not end up getting AK Rust because they're Nazis or something. Can't remember exactly the specifics, but...
Didn't they do a really bad trailer for something?
Yeah, super bad. Super bad. But thankfully, I was super deep into the Super Series at that point, so I couldn't really... Like,
I mean, it's not like you were outside anyway. You just like chained to the Super Series area. Multiple desks. Yes.
All right. I'm very excited about playing some 40K. I was wondering if either of you two would like to come over to the stadium to play next week.
I would love to come over to play next week. However, I need to work out my routine because obviously I work till 6, but I can come down and we'll play a game. It'd be good fun.
Well, thankfully, we own the venue, so we can play all night.
And we're a bubble of 6, and it is responsible.
Yeah,
excellent.
Yeah. Congratulations, everyone. So we might even be able to record a game, but probably not because we don't have any overlays. And also, this is really important. I don't remember how to play the new 40K.
I can make you a really shitty overlay if you'd like.
I actually do want that. Like, I really do want that. I want it to be awful. Like, that would be excellent. Please.
A very much Tom overlay.
One of your MS Paint Like an MS Paint MS overlay. Paint.
Just like covered in like naked custodes and whipped cream. It's just like, yeah, fantastic.
I would also like me and Nick, we could do it as a trio, right? Like, Nick, you could play a game against Tom, and I'll just be in the booth, but the like, tech bit. And I'll just like be like sassing you guys over in the overlay. So it'll be a bit like Tabletop Titans. We actually have the technology to make it look really nice, like Tabletop Titans, only not that and far more sass. I'm into that.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
I feel like we should have our own different overlay for when we're playing on stream.
And
we all make our own.
Yeah, we're not using the TSN stuff. No way, we'll get stabbed.
it's far too nice for me just turning up with 15 naked boys.
No, that's better, if anything. That makes it cooler. I'm painting Space Marine trucks and tanks. Fuck the haters, says Bar on Saturday. Listen, if you like Space Marines, that's super okay. Super okay. Everyone likes something they shouldn't. McDonald's, OnlyFans. Like, there's just things that like are bad for you, but also make you happy. And Space Marines are that.
League of Legends,
another good example. Fantastic example. Should you? No. Will you? Maybe after the show. Like, this, you know, there's loads.
I kind of want to play Among Us with you guys, to be honest.
Oh, my God,
I think we could get a proper group together.
I'd like that, only I can't afford it. But that would be
£4 quid, Rob, I'll buy it for you, dude.
£4?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, amazing, yes. Zircon. What up to a legend in the chat?
Lads.
I've got my Gazgul Thraka all painted up and ready to rock.
Oh, you finished it, mate. Can I see it?
You probably can't. You'll see him in a minute on the screen. I don't know if I can make it.
That looks great, mate. Off. That looks fantastic. Yeah,
nice.
I painted a big shout out to Jimmy 1080 for sending him to me. So really happy with him. And then...
But he's red, Rob.
Yeah, it's not acceptable, Rob. You're hobbying.
He's a goth. What? Repaint it, please.
Excuse me.
If you try to use that in a game against me, then I will remove it.
Any color you want him to be. Any color you want him to be. Very happy with this. However, I'm tempted. Oh no! Don't worry. I'm not going to say that. Anyway, so I've got some Death Rollers to paint up as well.
Yes.
I'm very excited about. I've got two Death Rollers to paint up, two Orc trucks that I'd like to get going. I'm pretty excited about playing some matches. I don't know what else I would like to play at the moment. I've got some. I weirdly did some hobby last week where I built some Terminators. So you know the Betrayal at Kalthbok sets.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got like 20 Terminators in there. And
nice.
Thank you.
Are they going to be generic Space Marine Terminators? Or...
Obviously, generic Marines, so they could either be Chaos and or... but I have...
Did you get enough weapon options in those kits?
I did not, as you well know. None. But I will be buying them from third-party companies like Thingiverse or Pop Goes the Monkey and not giving a Games Workshop a fucking penny. Well done, Nick.
Not a dime.
The people
who love the hobby were really, really reluctant to give the creator of it any cash.
They've got enough. Yeah. That's what I think. But what was I going to say? So I was tempted to play some Marines, maybe at some point, whether they be Chaos or good guys, because I did recently, one of my friends gave me, from Blackstone Fortress, the incredible Chaos Sorcerer Lord with a Thunder Hammer, a plasma pistol, and the swagger that you really only get. This guy has got the confident look of a man who's walking up to you and thinks, in the street, that you want his mix CD. Like, have you ever been in the street and someone's offered you their mix CD for a fiver?
No.
What?
Because if I see anyone walking towards me like that, I run
away. Cross the road. Yeah.
What? That is outrageous. Okay, all right. I one that's more relevant. He's walking towards me with the confidence of a man who thinks this high street needs a third e-cigarette shop.
Okay.
I mean, in Oxford, that's probably true.
This is none of these are landing today. Like nothing.
No.
None of these are landing. Have you been
outside? Sorry, Rob. I'm concentrating on my hobby, mate.
I've been outside for work, and that's it.
We are very exciting people, and I'm glad people listen to our comment.
Well, I actually hope they do. I am not a Space Marine player. However, I did see I have fallen in love with the Space Marine colour scheme.
Which one?
So, matte grey as like the main thing, and then just yellow as like the shoulder pads.
That's Space Wolves, man.
No, a darker grey. Not like a blue grey, like a like stone
baby grey. Blue grey, yeah.
No, like a stone grey, like much much like lighter and.
Are you telling us you're going to paint Marines, Rob?
No, I might eventually. I've got them. I'm basically just going to paint up all the 40k that I have. So, like, and because the game is still not out yet, we've got, like, what, 3 to 6 months before we even have to play properly?
I think we've got a year. We've got a year.
Rob, when I was doing the squad cast the other day, we were talking to the Polish lads, and Skark is, like, a legendary Polish player, and he's been running around with AdMech.
Oh, really?
I thought you might like that, yeah. And his AdMech just blows people off the table. It's insane.
Well, like, we saw Rickard, who was on the show not long ago. He's been smashing it with his AdMech, and they've been...
I must be honest, I haven't seen his list, but I would recommend that you go and check that out if you are interested in AdMech, because it's literally just a... lots of guns, kill, dead.
Was it lots of Dacobots?
No, it was Cataphone Destroyers. It was planes.
Planes?
Yeah, I'll give you the list, actually. One second.
Are you telling me that one of the newest kits that they've brought out in a spammable version list?
Yeah, it's good. Yeah, how about that?
My God.
I'll just get you... So the list is, you've got the Manipulus, you've got the... you've got three Cataphron Destroyers to take a troop's choice because you've taken their patrol. So you've got the Ormars Manipulus, you've got the Daedalus, and you've got Belisarius Crawl in Spearhead because you used another detachment. You've then got some Cerberus Raiders, which are the Flamer Doggos, which are, but not quite the the Flamer ones. It's the ones with the little guns, right? You've got five Sky Stalkers, and then you've got two more units of Cerberus Raiders because they're really efficient. And then all the big guns are two Onaga Dune Crawlers. You've got three of those Strateo Raptors with chaff launchers to make a minus one to hit. And then you've got three Disintegrators and one Dune Crawler, and then three Dune Crawlers. So you've got six floaty boats, three planes, a bunch of Cerberus Raiders, and then all the characters, and you just blows people off the board. Smashes them.
That sounds really fun. A couple of caveats.
Not for your opponent, though. A
couple of caveats to that is I don't have any of the floaty boats. It's a bit of an issue.
Do you have any planes?
Or the planes. Or the Cerberus Raiders. So,
do you have the characters and the destroyers?
I at least have the destroyers, I think.
You're halfway there.
Yeah, I don't feel like I'm halfway there at all. I don't think I'm close to halfway there in any way, shape, or form. Okay. But also, I'm pretty excited about running some other stuff. So, like, you guys all know I'm big an AdMech fan. I think I'm going to swing back to AdMech when they get their Codex update because, trying to move us into the main topic of the show, I really do feel like that there's absolutely still the whole game to actually be released and announced, right? So there's... Also, I've put in the Discord live show chat, and I've also WhatsApped you to the Marine color scheme that I'm
Yeah, they look really good. There's a lot of freehand on there as well.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that. Nope, no way. But I'd just do the gray and the gray and the yellow.
Why not, Rob?
What? Because I don't have time and I don't want to.
That's fair.
So
I thought you were going to say because I don't think I can.
I'd actually, yeah. I'd actually like to put in the order priority of how I feel. Top is I don't want to. Below that is I don't have time. So before I even. Even stranded on a desert island with somehow a box of DVDs that explain to me how to do it and all the time in the world, still probably wouldn't do it. Probably would explore the island instead.
Fair enough.
Yeah. It's a cool scheme.
I don't know, man. Looks like Space Wars to me.
It's not. But also, I could just... Also, you can buy that Mechanicus... It looks like Mechanicus Standard Grey.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So spray them like that and then highlight them. Easy.
Are you going to edge highlight them?
I am not ever in 1,000 years going to do that thing you said. Are you going to?
No, I hate edge highlighting.
There we go. It feels like you two aren't putting any effort into your hobby.
This is disgusting.
I'm going to have to gatekeep you now.
I'm not going to. That's fine. Gatekeep your day. I'll just ignore you. but yeah, I'll end up with... wait, they took out all the spray paints. That's okay. Wilco's does a grey that I'll just use. So
Halfords is great for this kind of stuff.
And Halfords also does one as well. So I'm all about it.
They can sometimes come out really thick, though. That's the issue with cheaper paints like that.
That's fine. Yeah. That's fine. I don't care what my stuff looks like. That's really important for everyone.
Okay.
That's why we paint it.
So on to the main subject of the show is there was obviously some stuff that came out of the weekend, which we'll discuss about the weapons. But one of the core things about the game that is going to change in the future, they've announced today, and that is that some units are going to develop the core keyword. Mm. Core keyword. And it is going to change how armies play. They think drastically. Great question as to whether or not we think drastically. And then, so aura abilities from characters will only affect units with the core keyword. We've also seen from like people like screenshotting the video is that there are also psychic powers that are also going to work on core units as well, which means we might have stratagems that only work on core units, like core infantry units or something. So yeah. I guess let's take it slowly and break it down. Aura abilities only affecting core units. I guess, have you got an initial reaction to it?
One of my initial reactions is it's another layer of complexity that they're kind of adding in with like another additional keyword. But also I think it's good because it gives them another element of control as to like, you know, where powerful buffs go. But they kind of also said in the article, you know, it makes narrative sense what the captain's going to buff. Because I don't necessarily think that's going to translate into the game. It's just they're going to pick and choose what unit. I don't think it's necessarily going to make so much sense what units have the core keyword. It's just going to be whichever ones they decide they want to be able to have the buff.
Yeah.
I don't think narrative's going to inform that in any way, really.
I would agree with that as well. I think narrative is something they use to hide from.
Yeah, they definitely use the narrative to hide behind a lot of their decisions. Mm-hmm. I think it's great that the stuff like the Repulsor and those kind of tanks are losing the core, the ability to get the Chapter Master buff and the Real Ones buff.
Couldn't agree more.
Because it's the most boring thing to sit through. If you've ever sat through someone firing their Repulsor with a Chapter Master, it takes a long time. So I think it's a good change. It's just going to speed up the game. And I think those tanks are still going to be good. They're just good in their own right. They just won't be as good as they were before. But they just, you know, speed up the gameplay and make it less boring for their opponent to have to sit through because they just have so many guns. Mm-hmm. Tom, you got any thoughts?
Like it.
Yeah.
It's good. Yeah. Sound. Love it.
If you're not getting anything beyond that?
I mean, it's kind of difficult to give you any like more perspective from it when you don't actually know exactly what's going to be core, right? For example, with Eldar, what's going to be core, right? Are you saying Guardians, Storm Guardians, that's probably it, right? Or are you going to say things like Eldar where you often like build around things like Aspect Hosts or you build around things like jet bikes, for example? Are they going to be core or not? It's about where you draw the line. So I can't really give like a more detailed perspective on it if we don't know specifically what's going to be core, right? I mean, I was having this discussion with the Northern Irish lads, the Irish lads yesterday. Okay, let's just say all troops are core. Fine. Well, apparently they're giving core to heavy intercessors, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's basically like, as a heavy intercessor, correct me if I'm wrong here, is it just effectively the Primaris version of a Devastator?
I thought they were meant to be a troop choice.
They are a troop choice.
Yeah.
So
basically, what they are—they're the unit that's meant to invalidate Primaris intercessors now.
Yeah.
So this is the cycle of Games Workshop. You know, they had old Marines. They brought out Primaris Marines to invalidate old Marines. Now new Marines have been given the two wounds, same as Primaris Marines. So they have to bring out a new troop unit that's better than them for people to buy.
And also, that's what they are. And also, if you're not 100% certain as to whether or not the intercessors might be good, they then brought little baby Marines in line with the intercessors so that like to further like muddy the water in that exact. But yeah, you get one heavy bolter per five in the heavy Devastator squad, but they are also most importantly toughness five with three
with wounds. An extra wound as well. Yeah.
Three wound troops with toughness five. So that's what you should expect custodians to go up a wound. I'm almost certain that will be the case in the future.
At least one, surely, right? Especially if Terminators are like three wounds.
Yeah. Stuart Hastings said, I just started 40k recently. I'll be honest, it's already overwhelming. I can completely understand that feeling.
I think new people coming in at this edition, it must be a really hard time because the release was so erratic and all over the place because of the leaks and also how Games Workshop managed it themselves. And then they're adding it like extra things in sort of after the fact, like this thing.
Well, yeah, this is a fairly large mechanic. It does make sense, though, why it does. Oh, no, sorry again. I bought 30 intercessors 2 weeks ago. I am not happy. Oh, my God. So sorry, bud. I would say that it's confusing, definitely, but it does make sense. Oh, Robert Marsh, thanks for joining Patreon. Oh, that's woo-hoo. Great.
Thanks very much.
Everyone for joining Patreon. Great.
Nice. Work.
Thanks, bud. I would say that it kind of makes sense because you do the way this game works specifically is you have your core rules which affect everyone.
And then
your data sheets and your other things are additional rules you add on. So as much as you would have liked to have known about this, or I'd like to have known about it at the start of the edition, obviously that is going to change up when they actually release the new data sheets. That's how it works. So, you know, those additional rules on. But it does feel weird because then, like, armies that you would have built to maybe run around auras, you know, maybe you bought a repulsor because you were like, I'm going to stand him next to my space marine captain. I mean, it's still good. It still hits on threes, you know. That's pretty good. You know, an all player's like, that's sweet. But
I've got a question as well, by the way, Rob. Sorry, you finish your point, mate.
No, I don't really have any. Oh, Mamdeh, thanks very much for donating 500 bits to the show. In fact, please do join me, Mamdeh, and Scrivo and Fantastic Guy for the Stream Street 183, the positive news show, which is what tomorrow's going to be. Yeah,
it's also the half year special. There you go.
Yeah.
So the question I was going to ask, Rob, is what do we think is going to happen with regards to different sub factions having different core units, right? For example, in Iandan, which is the Eldar sub faction that uses a lot of wraiths because their craft world got devastated by Tyranids, do their wraith units get core?
Well, I think so. My Chromedar is mostly wraiths. Mm. They don't necessarily have a lot of aura abilities, so I don't think they necessarily need the core keyword because they don't have that many auras.
No, of course, but I mean, like, I'm using it as an example to bring up other things, right? For example, Hobbit. Eldar's kind of a difficult one to do because they don't have too many auras, but at the same time, it's a faction I know best, so you know what I mean, but right. Like how different sub-factions use lots of different things, right?
Well, I just think it. I don't think it's going to make any sense what is core and what isn't.
Oh, do you not think?
I don't think it's going to make much sense at all. It's just going to be whatever they decide needs the abilities in each book. I don't think there's going to be any logical pattern to it.
Okay.
Yeah, Richie Asante's got it. He's made the point I was trying to make for a faction where it actually makes sense. Yeah. Like Marines with White Scars.
Yeah, White Scars, the bikers get core.
Yeah, I think regardless whether you're White Scars, I feel like bikes will get core anyway.
Yeah, I think bikes will get core. I do. I think it won't make tons of sense. Thank you, Tristan, for subscribing. By the way, big love to you. Zengor Jack's on your side, Nick. I think it won't make tons of sense. But I also think it does give them additional. I like it. Like I discussed this actually with a guy that plays D&D last night. I like it when there are additional rules because it means that you can add or take stuff away from a design space. Like, you know, if everything is core in this, I mean, I expect almost no vehicles to be core, you know, like talking about that build that you were just talking about, Tom, with the Mechanicum. I imagine they're all benefiting from rerolls to one from having, you know, a Majos nearby. And now they're not going to get that. And that is going to significantly change that army, which I see as a big positive. I really, really do. Like, you know, whereas Hellblasters, I think that they might get core.
I'm going to be honest, I forgot they were a thing after Heavy Intercessors got released.
What, Hellblasters?
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Oh, no, I don't play D&D. I just spoke to someone called D&D. D&D is way too complicated for me.
Really?
Yeah, because there are no rules.
Okay.
That's the best thing.
Huh?
Anyway, that's a whole different conversation.
If it makes sense, just do it.
No, because then I'll get too weird about it. I'll get lost in the whole process. Can I say a big shout out to Jebs for subscribing for 2 months in a row? Big love to you.
Oh,
yeah. So it's going to change how armies play significantly from this point onwards, but not from this point onwards because we still haven't had the book released. So when you're looking at the speeder that got released or the quad bike, none of those things I think will be core. And I think that means they won't get just reroll ones to say, well, reroll ones to hit for just existing, which I think is a huge positive.
Yeah, I think, yeah. So there's less, a lot less rerolls. They did say that they're going to make this edition a lot quicker and easier to, quicker to play, more streamlined. So I think taking away lots of rerolls on lots of certain units, particularly the Chapter Master reroll all hits one, is a very positive thing. And I've really enjoyed playing my Chromedar because every individual unit, there's no aura abilities in their list at all. Every individual unit operates on its own. It's way more flexible. It's really quick and it's more quick and easy to play than having to do lots of rerolls. Because how often has anyone, like either Overwatch or whatever, like used so many rerolls and stuff like that and it's barely made any difference? It's, obviously sometimes, most of the time it does, but
yeah.
And I think it's just going to be, it's going to make the game better, I think. But again, another big winner though is got to be Salamanders though.
Because of their innate,
because they, because they're an innate reroll to hit and to wound on each individual unit, they're going to be and get another boost from this, I think, because they're still going to have that reliability inbuilt with their chapter tactic.
Yes, that makes sense. That really does. Yeah, I also can see things like who's the Marines in the big suits with all the bolters?
Forget Imperial Fists.
No. Yeah, I mean, yes.
Centurions.
Centurions, thank you. Centurions, like, I imagine they don't get core. And able to reroll ones to hit on them would be a big deal for them. That makes them a lot less useful. The thing about this is, though, is it's whether or not those units outside of that core actually end up being worthwhile taking because they don't get access to whatever X thing might be. But it does provide them the design space to make you at list building make choices, which I see as a positive in some ways.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and they can always add and take away the core keyword from units if they need to.
Pardon? Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. If they needed to, they could take a keyword away, right? Like, I doubt they'll ever actually go that far. I think that they'll, but I don't know. Like, for me personally, I think monumental change, but I'm not overly fussed about it, to be honest. Like,
Well, we don't really know how to quantify it, right?
Well, I am a bit triggered because what if the custom force field only works on core and not on my mid-range?
I feel like that would not make any narrative sense, Rob. So if it does, we can bash him for that.
Okay, good. All right. So we have.
It's like the Naboo bubble. Come on.
Yeah, I know. It should work on everything, right?
Yeah, it's just a big bubble.
Oh,
yeah.
Hypnocracker.
Oh, what a babe.
Oh, thanks for donating 5 subscriptions to the show, to Default, Quixus, Indefall, and Zobo and Tish. And then you made us hit a streak.
Woohoo!
So that's nice. Hype train, yeah. I also changed up what the... No, I didn't do it on this channel. I changed up what the hype train emotes are. I'll do that next time. Sorry, guys.
we're almost beating level 2 already. Pogo. Yeah.
Ultimately an interesting change, and we'll see how it pans out. The other change that we saw at the weekend, which I've discussed with you in a little bit, Nick, but Tom, obviously I'd like your input and we could rediscuss it, is of course that the weapons profiles are significantly changing for lots of the different weapons. And probably, I wouldn't be surprised if we're seeing most of the weapon options changing for most, of the different that are available to everyone. I mean, we've even seen defensive stuff like the storm shields are now a 4+ invulnerable save +1 to your armor save. Which is that going to relate? Do custodians have storm shields or do they have custodians?
They have storm shields.
So that's specifically
+1 to your armor saving throw. So it's not, which is a big difference because this is the thing I wanted to actually talk about. So when Indomitus released, you have this whole thing about storm shields and now 4+ invulnerable save and +1 to your armor save, right? And that caused a big issue because effectively you could then only set failure saves on a 1 because of the unmodified rule in the actual written book, right? Mm-hmm. But in this codex, it's changed to the correct FAQ.
Yep.
But that book must have gone to print before Indomitus was released.
No, because I think that you'll find in the book it'll actually have the old version.
And
then,
it's FAQ.
And then I think
FAQ.
They're FAQing it ahead of time. Yeah, this is a pre FAQ.
Preemptive FAQ. It's like, someone get the printers. No.
Someone get the printers. Yeah. So they've announced all of the weapon profile changes, and some of them are fairly significant. Flamers are going to be 12 inches, and they have said when they released the Marine book that all relevant units
And then they listed like some examples, and they didn't list Burner Boys, and my heart broke at that point.
It's okay. Burner Boys aren't relevant, so it's fine.
Yeah.
That's how it works. Yeah.
So, I mean, that's pretty massive, because like it's basically the launch of the Marine book effectively makes a whole new edition again, right? We all get new weapon profiles.
Start of the edition.
Start of the edition. We all get new weapon profiles. Sweet. We also get to see, I reckon there's going to be command abilities like there is in Age of Sigmar, almost definitely in the command phase. So the loss of the aura abilities, I think, is going to be supplemented by the addition of command abilities, but we'll end up. Tau Flamers do benefit from it. Yeah. So Tau, I mean, so, but in Monkar, I would love to affect only core. That would be great.
That would be funny.
Yeah. Which Monkar. I mean,
that's a reroll one. Monkar is the move and fire one. The Kion is the one that allows to reroll all hits.
Yeah, I want Kion to only affect core units. Freaking sweet. Freaking sweet.
Punish players, man. Come on. They're so punished.
Yeah, so what do you guys make of the... Tom, what do you make of the weapon profile changes? How are you feeling about it?
It depends upon the points cost. I think we allude to it in another show, right? If the points get heavily inflated, then it'll be great. If the points don't get heavily inflated, then we're going to see a massive Marine horde just sweeping across the tournament tables for the next few months. Although, thank you, I guess, to lockdown. We don't have to see that. You know what I mean? So like, that's the only reason. Like, but we wouldn't like necessarily see like a massive Marine resurgent once again. But yeah,
the Marine resurgent never went away. It'd be a second wave of Marines.
A controversial opinion. I don't think Marines are de facto the best book in the game right now.
Well, I don't think they are either, based on performance.
I think Marines are now contested with Harlequins and Admech.
They're up there. They're super strong, right? But Harlequins apparently are just smashing it all over the place.
They are, yeah. So I think Chaos potentially do it too. It's just people are working it out. There are some builds up there for Chaos that I've seen that are nutty. But I don't think you'd ever build it because it's so expensive. Have you seen the Beast of Nurgle model?
I have seen the Beast of Nurgle model.
You know how much it costs, right? It's like the Chaos version of the mech gun.
Yeah, was it like 30 quid or something ridiculous like that?
Yeah,
bonkers. And I saw a list that did really well in Sweden by Per Helander, who came second at a big event in Sweden a couple of weeks ago, with two units of nine of those and the bonkers Lord of Change that doesn't die. And you just walk over there. They're not quick, but they don't go anywhere. Let's put it that way. So you can definitely find that list as well. I did another squadcast on that one. But there's a lot of lists out there that really contest Marines and really cause them issues.
Yes. Yeah, there are loads. Like the guys in the chat are talking about the demons right now. Sirkon, did you see the full demon list that won a tourney a couple of days ago? So that's out there. Northern Ireland was again, an event was taken out again by some Harlequins. So that happens.
Harlequins are very strong. There's a couple of builds in there.
There's lots of armies in it to win it. I think we've only really started to understand. Like if you talk about that Goonhammer article where you're talking about going first, talked about that a little bit today on the Daily Show. Really, like one of those experiences for people is like how much is that relevant and based on the terrain at the event. Like we haven't even really looking at the WTC terrain pack done by Ishik, like which it, for me right now is the holy grail of terrain. I'm like, that's my guide for terrain. I look at that and I think, I've looked at the Goonhammer article on terrain as well. Have you guys looked at that?
I haven't looked at the Goonhammer one. What I think is really good.
Can I say something that's really fucking weird? Like, ignoring whether or not I want to be a TO and do a 40k Super Series, which is obviously the plan. Like, ignoring that, I would just like to just put some terrain down to play 40k. And there isn't, from the company, a fucking one sheet PDF that's like, do this. This is the square footprint of these. Done.
Hey, Rob, that's not true, mate. They did a chapter approved just for you.
No, they didn't. They did. They've done some pictures, and that's it. Like they haven't
they did
done
a chapter
like
approved for terrain, mate, so you can place it all by yourselves.
No,
so they don't have to do anything.
They haven't. And that it actually really fucks me off. Like, because I was thinking about you guys coming over next week. So I'm like, okay, I want to at least get some like terrain in the right shape and size to make sure that we can play. But I don't even know what to do. I do thanks to someone else, like, but I don't thanks to the company, which is super weird, right?
Yeah, they should send me some terrain, so hopefully I'll arrive by next week so we can play on it, mate.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Right, continuation of the point I was talking about, though. But yeah, no. That's great.
No, but there you are. Yeah, good terrain. Well, I don't really know how to respond to the point otherwise. Okay. Yeah, there are no rules. Okay. Yeah.
Like, isn't that fucking nuts, though?
I mean, they could probably make some money out of it, but at the same time, you know. I don't really want to be forced to play their specific idea of what terrain should look like either.
No, but I do want there to be a standard. It's not that I want to like play their version. I want to play the version. Does that make sense?
Okay, so how do you do that? Do you have to do one for like every size of like kitchen table?
You just do one for their suggested minimum board size. It's that easy. Tom? The 80 million, 100 million, 200 million pounds they made last year, get one fucking guy on a 30 grand a year contract, get him to make maps all year. That's all he does. He just makes 40k terrain maps every day and he posts them online and that's his entire job. And that would be fine. Yeah? Like, yes, I do expect them to do for every kid. In fact, Tom, great question. My answer is yes. Go on, Nick.
Yeah, I think a lot of the people who play 40k, majority of them aren't necessarily the super competitive players, though. So necessarily, they might not feel it's that important to put that out.
What do they don't? I don't. Who gives a fuck what they think is important? I want to play some 40k. I care what's important. Yeah, like, and what I care about. Like, what do you do in your games, Nick?
Sure. We always make sure we have lots of line of sight blocking terrain. We've talked about the fact that we need more terrain that's like just a dense minus one to hit and like small cover. So we have lots of obscurable, we have a couple of dents, and we have some difficult ground. We put the objectives out and then we make the terrain symmetrical. And just sort of mix it up each time. Like, you know, some of the objectives are completely obscured, some are partially obscured, some are completely in the open. So you just kind of mix it up each time, but we always make sure it's symmetrical and there's lots of line of sight blocking terrain.
Okay. All right. Would you make it so that it's effectively you can't even target your opponent's army in the first turn if they wanted to make it so you couldn't?
I think that's probably important to ensure that there are places to hide if you want to, definitely.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So a significant volume of obscurable terrain all the way across the board. Tom, what have you been doing?
I haven't been playing any games, is what I've been doing.
Oh, okay. That's a good technique. Okay, that works.
Don't have
well.
To deal with it anymore, mate.
What would you do, though, like, is my question. If you were going to play a game next week, let's say.
I mean, I'm more fussed about necessarily like, learning what the game actually does rather than specifically worrying about, like, whether the terrain is, like, balanced for a fun, interactive game. You know what I mean? I'm more worried about, like, actually learning stuff.
So I feel like the terrain is really key in this.
Yeah, I think
it is. But
I think the terrain basically just, like, that's what I mean about not knowing what to do is because they keep banging on about the terrain. And I feel like they played the game or balanced the points based on something that they think the terrain is meant to look like, and then have never told us what that is.
Okay, so I'm just telling you what I'd like to do if I was playing a game. I would just put out lots of different types of terrain so I can learn what all the keywords do.
Okay, all right.
And actually, like, experience it properly, you know what I mean? Rather than being too, like, meticulous about making sure it's necessarily balanced.
Because what, if you were a TO?
Oh, right, yeah.
What if you were a TO of a grand final of a tournament and you had to lay out the map for the final game between the two top two?
What would you do?
How would you approach that?
Well, first of all, I would take whatever they do on the stream table at Warhammer World and put that in the bin.
Good start.
Correct answer. Let's move on.
There we go. Don't let the grand final be played on that. I still like the big L's in the centre. You know what I mean? I mean, maybe it'll... I would just go with that right now because I don't have a deep enough understanding to understand what's good or right. And as you're saying, like, we don't have that standard, so I can't know anything else other than go with what I previously did and then just build on it as I learn more, right?
Actually,
so I'd end up going L's court middle, L's corners, and then area terrain in between.
Having this conversation is like, I'm sat here just like, holy fuck, we don't even know what the standard is of the board.
I mean, it's a new game, right?
It's not a new game. We're working on it for 2 fucking years. They didn't write it 2 weeks before launch and be like, oh.
No, it's a new game to us, so we're still trying to work out what the standard is, because what they've written may not just be the optimal thing.
It doesn't make any sense at all, I guess.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Yeah, and you know, Games Workshop makes so many terrible decisions. I would rather them not make the terrible decisions about terrain, to be honest.
Here comes big government.
Like, they could release a book and go, this is the standard, and it's terrible, and no one plays it.
That's right, Nick. Little government, keep our weapons. Let's go. Yeah? Right. So have you guys got no more thoughts about the weapon changes, weapon profile changes?
I think it's really exciting that they're making changes, though. Like, I think I'm really excited about Flamers being range 12. That makes them way cooler and more threatening. Yeah. Pray for Burner Boys. But it doesn't... It's difficult because I play Necrons as well. Like, they don't have the standard marine weaponry, so I'm assuming Necrons have got lots of changes to their weapons as well. Like, they highlighted the sniper guys, can't remember what they're called now, Deathmarks, their weapon change. So there's clearly loads for Necrons coming in.
Oh, Ziggy coming in with some more gifters. Thank you very much, mate.
Oh, thanks, Ziggy. I was on the phone to him today.
Have one more point I want to make about the weapon changes, though, right? So if you inflate the stats of weapons across the board, that gives you more room to wiggle them around, right? For example, now you can say, oh, well, a bolter and a slugger are slightly different, but not that different, right? So
I have a question. What type of bolter are you referring to?
Tom? Oh, I'm so sorry. A mastercrafted heavy bolter.
Oculus bolt carbine. Okay.
Yeah. Yep. Thank you. Perfect. That's better. Yeah.
That's it. So currently, let's say you're firing like a slugger, a shooter, but an Orcas, or a bolter, right? The only difference is that one's rapid fire 2 and one's assault 2 with slightly shorter range, right? Which doesn't really account for like the quality of gun. So the Orc gun is probably just something picked up off the floor that's been messed around with by the mechs. The Space Marine bolter is something that's been handcrafted by Mars and like anointed with blessed oils. Mm-hmm. But currently, the only difference we really have is that, right? But if you were to say, take one of them and give it +1 strength, well, suddenly that's like significantly better than the other one, right?
Yes.
Whereas probably you don't need that. Whereas if you're inflating the stats, maybe like 1 point of strength isn't that different.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Talk your point out for me a bit more.
Okay. Let's say there's a scale, right? And between we have 1, which is the shittiest gun in the universe,
okay,
and 10... Bubble which chucker. Is like a bubble chucker, okay? Yeah. And now let's make the bubble chucker a 200, right? Mm-hmm. Let's make the bubble chucker a 200.
Yes.
Now suddenly everything else along that scale gets pulled apart a bit more, right? So you can, like, for example, let's say I have 3 stats, strength, AP, damage, right?
Yeah.
If I change one of those stats by a little bit, it's going to be a massive difference between one gun and another. Now let's say I have 12 stats. And I change 1 stat. It's right. Not as much of a difference.
Okay, I see what you're saying. I was saying you think that it's actually not as impactful because they're not changing loads. Only they are changing.
What I'm saying is that I'm not seeing it as, oh well, it's not gonna be impactful because you're not changing much. What I'm saying is if you suddenly set the standard where you've got more things to change in a weapon, you can put little differences between a weapon that aren't like but represent them being slightly different, but aren't massively impactful in game.
Yes. Okay. I see what you mean. The difference between a chainsword and an Astartes chainsword is the is that AP1. They function the same, only the bigger, badder one has got that AP1. Is that what you're saying?
But AP1 might not matter as much when you inflate all the stats.
Okay.
Right. But you are representing the slightly better weapon as being slightly better in game rather than significantly better because it's got that 1 point of change.
Right. Yeah, I don't think the changes in some cases are like groundbreaking, but I think that they're good improvements. That's what I like about some of the changes that we've seen so far, with the multi-motor being specifically one, in that I actually really like that they're looking at something and thinking, do you know what? This isn't really fit for the purpose of what a multi-melter should do. Like, you know, so we're gonna break that apart and then redesign it. So I actually, kudos to them for doing so, but I also feel like they should have done it at the start of the game.
Like, yeah, probably.
During Night Edition, because it's super weird.
Another example is, right, let's say we look at Marines getting plus one wound. You look at that and you think, holy shit, that's huge. Yep. But if you've got lots of other things also getting improvements, then it's just like, and everything's just like sliding across. It's like, oh, well, one extra wound isn't a massive deal when you've got lots of damage floating around.
I mean, I'm actually excited. I'm very scared as well, because I know that they're coming for the mech guns. Like, they're coming for the mech guns super hard. They're getting a rechange, whatever they're going to be changed to when we get to them. So, but like, they're in trouble. But, I am excited to see just general changes. Like, I'd like to see more attacks put on stuff, especially things like Gorkonauts. I want to see them like 8 or 9 attacks.
There you go. Like, yeah.
I want to see that sort of a situation. I don't think you will, like, necessarily, but it would be fun if we do get that. That'd be fun. Like, and I think the fact that they are doing that is great. It's just the timing. It just feels weird. Like, and maybe, you know, like, with COVID, it all doesn't seem to be too bad, because you're kind of like, well, what would you do in this situation with COVID? Like, do you know what I mean? Like, if COVID wasn't
anyway, fine.
Yeah, you're not playing anyway, so who cares? But it feels like a lot to keep up with mentally. Like, if you got into the game now and you learn all your stuff, and then you think, okay, there's a whole new book now. I know we've talked about this point before, but I'm excited about the changes. I just wish that they were now. It just feels like a drag.
Yeah, but I think from Games Workshop's business point of view, it's better for them to drag it out, because, you know, Marine and Necrons codecs will come out, and then loads of people might pick up new Marine armies or new Necron armies, or reinvigorate their passion for Necrons or whatever, and buy that stuff. And that stuff becomes good at that point, and people jump on the bandwagon, get hyped about that, and then that process repeats every couple of months until all the armies are out. Whereas if it all hits at once, you know, people would pick and choose which hype train they jumped on.
Well, I think they would, though, right? Well, I mean, wouldn't you be more like, I don't want to collect Marines, so I won't buy them, right? But like, if they put all the new index stuff out right now for all the weapons changes for orcs, I'd be like, okay, like, what new orc units am I getting for my orc army? That's my argument, and I'd be like, I'd go in.
Yeah, but like, you've got a Space Marine army now. If the Space Marine Odex comes out now, and the Orc Odex is coming out in 6 months' time, you might spend a bit of money on your Marines now.
Okay.
Whereas if they both come out at the same time, you might have to pick and choose. And go, oh well, I like my Orcs better. I'll just play my Orcs and buy them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough.
I think it'd be way better for us, and way better in general, if they all came out at once. Then we could actually properly play 9th edition. But
they've got nothing to sell for a few months.
That's just not how they work. Yeah.
Yeah. It's weird that the game doesn't feel finished already. I don't know if that's everyone else generally.
That's why I'm not fussed about. Obviously, there's not many tournaments happening anyway because of the COVID situation. But I'm not fussed at the minute about. I'm not really bothered about tournaments, like playing in them necessarily, or the results of tournaments now, because it's all irrelevant. Like, it doesn't really matter, because the game, we're not in 9th edition yet. We're in the transition periods between. So all the lists that are doing well now, I'm not interested, because I don't think they're going to be relevant when all the new codexes come out, because everything's going to be so totally different.
It is going to have an impact on how armies works and the meta. Build. It is going to have an impact upon what people build when those books come out, though, right? For example, if I'm a Marine player and my codex drops, and I'm thinking, okay, if I'm building a list, what's it going to have to be? It's going to have to be ad mech with just lots of guns. It's going to have to beat these chaos lists that just don't die. It's going to have to be Harlequins. And therefore, people start to list design for that. And I totally get your point, though. Like, I'm just adding a little bit. Maybe it's wrong, but I'm just adding that. But it will have a slight impact initially, at least on what people choose to build and set the meta going in that direction. But of course, when you have big FAQs and chapter approves dropping so often with points changes and like massive changes to the game, it won't be as big of a difference, especially in like 6 months.
Yeah, not even 6 months. I think maybe like 3. That's what the, it feels like. We're on the crust. It feels like since the game came out, we were on the cusp of something. I don't know. I'm feeling a bit like, for some reason now, that doesn't feel. I feel like we've gone into a conversation that I wasn't expecting to. I wasn't expecting to be this, just not down about it, but just despondent about it. But I guess that's my how I feel about it. So I'm just talking my emotional honesty through with you guys. So I'm sorry about that. Like, I'm still super hyped for playing some games. I'd just like you mm-hmm. to know that. Like, really excited. But it's also a bit weird knowing that they're, not that they're worthless. I don't mean that at all. There's still loads of skills you can always learn and little tricks and units, but it just feels odd. Do you know what I mean?
Mm. And that's why, like, at the minute, I'm not really settling on a list. I've been playing lots of my different armies, lots of different styled lists, just to try and learn as much as possible about different units and different play styles. Like, I'm not focusing on a particular play style or list because the meta hasn't fully formed yet, or the whole game isn't properly out yet. So I'm just sort of being a bit of a butterfly, flapping around all over the place, just trying different things.
Mm. Yeah, I get that. Or just be Tom and just become a full hobbyist.
Yeah, could do that.
I'm just a role player now, man. That's all I do. I'm looking for more D&D groups.
I'm not. You could join all of mine.
100. You don't have any groups, right? That's not D&D what I'm looking for.
I got none. No. I got none at all. All
right, I want some actual role players, not people who play any of these like constant battle simulators. I want full on role players. Okay, that's all I accept. Just role players.
Oh, apparently it's been going around on the same groups that Primaris Redemptor Dreadnought is getting replaced with a new kit. On the Games Workshop site, it is no longer available.
I mean, to be fair, lots of things are no longer available because they sell out.
I think it's just they're sold out. I think it's
I don't know where that idea has come from. Maybe
they want to hold the game up. They literally can't keep all of their stuff in stock.
Like,
you know, I can see where they're coming from to some degree. It does feel weird.
Imagine having to sell so much shit. Damn it. We've sold out again.
Not again. Not like this. So who do you think the aura changes are going to affect negatively, positively? Got any thoughts?
I had to think about Grey Knights.
Yeah.
So I think they could affect Paladins. But I feel like Grey Knights are okay with that just because Terminators exist. Especially first Terminators getting plus or wound, right? With regards to Marines, Repulsors are obviously in there, but I'm trying to think about who else gets mass rerolls. Really, which books reroll a lot? Mainly Imperium, right?
Marines don't Chaos a little bit.
They do, but it depends on the psychic powers. Yeah, it's mainly the psychic powers and the stratagems, though, right?
But the psychic powers, it seems like some of the and stratagems, some of them, it looks like they're going to affect only core. So they're core locking some of those powers and abilities as well.
Imagine not being able to warp time Magnus and Mortarion.
Oh yeah, I can. That sucks.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. That's a good point. Warp time only on core would be an interesting one. What about Doom? Ooh. Doom only usable by core.
They're really hamstrung that power. No Drakari, no Harlequins, only core.
Yeah.
I mean, it depends on what you're using, though, right? Like, do Eldar Grav tanks get core? Maybe.
Probably not, though.
I know. I think Eldar are okay. Because if you're using things like Falcons, you can still do with a lot of the successor chapters you can use.
Personally, I think it's an odd mechanic anyway. I much prefer the command ability mechanic. I think it's a lot cooler because it's a little, like, I don't know. The rerolls are obviously very, very mathematically powerful. But they just, like, what, I make your bullets sharper by standing near you. Like, there's no narrative there that makes sense.
And homing.
I mean, no, that I can understand. That I'm like, oh, Sarge is watching, best fucking really knuckle down in this situation. Whereas...
Yeah, it's just like your manager looming over your shoulder. Yeah. Doing a performance review.
Surely then there's that one Marine that's holding a plasma gun that really struggles under pressure. Where he's just like, oh, I hope this works.
No! Yeah. But so Guard will get hit hard with the auras. So Guard use a load of auras today? Really?
Do they?
Well, they got Yarrick, I think, and then there's another like Katajan character who gives like rerolls to hit.
That's he's a buff dude.
Harker.
Gunnery Sergeant Harker. Yeah, there you go.
Harker. So like you just stick a dude. Yeah, he just sat there in the middle of like a million artillery tanks.
And, but equally though, a lot of their buffs are innate because they take things like Katajan or Cadian or Volvostrian or something, rather than being from a character. If they made Rat Corps only, then surely you've got to give guard tanks core, though.
Yeah, well, they'll have a tank commander.
Tank commander pass, gives them rerolls. There you go.
I think, because it's basically Age of Sigmar, is what 40k is becoming. You've got a hero phase, and then now you're just going to have battle line, which is core, and then battle line if. So if your warlord is going to be a tank commander, then you'll end up with the thingies will become core. Your Lehman Russes will become core. I'm almost certain that's what they'll do.
Like, that comes back into the whole thing I was talking about earlier with Iandan and making Wraiths core or something. Or White Scars.
I absolutely see that as well. I think you're right. I think sub-factions... Now I've got it in my head. They're just battle line if units. So it'll be battle line in Age of Sigmar and battle line if is what we're currently discussing. Okay. That's the changes, Nick, in my opinion. That's what they'll do. Mm-hmm. And then it'll change based on who your warlord is or what your sub-faction is. So, which is a nice way to, like, get around some buffs. You know, like, let's say you can get reroll ones to hit on your grotesques, but only, obviously, if they are in one of the sub-factions.
Mm.
Whichever the prophets of the flesh, the ones that give them plus one fun save.
Yeah, I think it'd be another pretty... A set of combo that people take a lot. The Ravagers, three Ravagers with the Archon.
Yeah.
Like they're definitely going to not get core, aren't they?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I'd be interested to see if a relic that they take to give them reroll ones to wound also means that they if that also means core as well.
Probably.
I think it probably will, but it's a relic. I'd be interested to see. I'd also be interested to see if they just completely forget it exists. To be honest.
I can't wait for rock up to the table and be like, oh, what core have you got today? It's like, this is my core. Okay. All right. Loads to remember there. Lots of core units. Like, they're going to change. It'll be, it's like you said, Nick, it's another level of like complexity, but I think one that they need to make the game better.
Do you think people are going to pivot towards core and just ignore everything else because you can make those units mathematically more efficient? Or will, like, an example of an Impulsive Executioner, because its guns are so good anyway, it's good without the core?
No, I think...
The buffing abilities.
I think it's more unique than that. Like, so when you took your Admech previously, you just took the best stuff, and I don't think I really ever thought about the reroll ones aura, for example. But you did. You were like, I'll obviously have him there rerolling ones. But now it's a bit more specific, and it's like, do I want that without reroll ones? Like, I'm putting in my warlord anyway, because all of the HQs give the reroll ones aura, basically. I'm taking them, and I'm taking my troops, so I'm there already. So now I've got access to the reroll ones. Do I want to take more core, or do I want to take, like, the toys situation, you know, like the boys versus toys debate? Like, am I just going to take, you know, like, boys never really got any, like, buffs, other than a bit of Warpath. But it would be cool to see them get something that gives them some sort of buff. But I think list building changes. So it's a really small change, but it makes list building very significantly different. Or it just brings list building down. You just had reroll ones because you were taking the powerful aura unit anyway with the character. Like, it was just innate. Your army just did it. You were just there, and I'm like, I reroll ones now. But now you don't. Mm-hmm. So you're right. I guess the question is are you going to take it? Yeah.
So here's my thing on that. And a lot of this is just going to be complete hypotheticals because there's so much context missing for the next couple of months that we physically can't know what's going to cause this. Right. But my question here would be, how many lists were we seeing at the end of 8th edition that were completely reliant upon rerolls?
The Marines.
All the Space Marine ones.
All the Marines.
So really, they were reliant upon rerolls.
No, they weren't reliant on the rerolls at all. But it's not about reliance. That was my point. Now, hold on, that's my point about the list building. It's not that they are reliant on, like, they weren't building the list around the rerolls. They were just building lists, and then they just had the rerolls yes. there.
And, like, and this is what I'm saying. If you don't need the rerolls to win the game, why do you change the list?
Oh, you don't.
You just take out the stuff that gives you rerolls and give, take more of the shit that was helping you win.
Yeah, yeah.
So why are we saying that it's going to have a massive impact upon writing lists when you just don't need that shit? You just take the little extra luxury bits out.
We weren't.
We were saying it had a massive impact on list building like 5 minutes ago.
No,
we were posing the question whether it would.
Okay, yeah.
That's what Nick said, and I said I think that you'll actually see that as much as you didn't in your brain, you didn't go because it was so an obvious thing that you're going to get rerolls. You're like, I'm going to get rerolls. I don't even think about it. I don't even think about, like, you previously, you didn't have to design buffs in the list. It just existed. But now you don't have that. And yeah.
Sorry, I didn't mean to come across as if I was disagreeing with you. No, I was just giving it a different thing.
Yeah, yeah. So now you go into list building and you think, oh, I'm not going to get rerolls on that unit. So actually, is that the unit I'm going to take? Again, I agree with your point. I don't think that they did, but you now have to have the conversation, which you previously didn't have to have.
Yeah. Like, that's... do you need it? Yeah, and how much do you get value out of it? For example, in AdMech, I think you often do. It depends on if you're taking lots of the destroyers, right? If you are, then you're probably going to get take them as core, which means that you're still getting value out of the rerolls.
You just get value anyway. You just get rerolls all across the army. It's just, it is a
value. Whether you get enough, it depends on if you get enough value to work to be worthwhile spending the points.
Yeah.
I feel like the question is going to become more like if you're a unit. It's not, oh, am I going to get value out of it with all these buffs and things like that? It's like, it, is this unit going to be good at that role that I want it to? Like tanks that shoot, but also have a shooting capacity. Like, I think people will take, like Eldar might be an example where people are taking Falcons because they're really good at shooting and you could maybe put some buffs on them or whatever. But maybe people now, it will give people opportunity to actually use that transport capacity, use it as a shooting boat, and then also transport troops across the board to an objective. So you might see more units having more, well, not having more options, but because of these changes becoming used in different ways, like the Falcon or
100%.
Like an Impulsor, because I think that has some transport capacity. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't need to sit at the back of the board being babysat by a chapter master. You can just use it on its own, put 5 intercessors in there, trundle it up the left flank, shooting as it goes, but then also dropping off some intercessors onto an objective across the board.
Yeah.
So it might just like, yeah.
Especially if you see the changes to Fire Dragons with the melter that you're seeing with Marines.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Because I think Fire Dragons are good, and I think Fire Dragons are good with Falcons and Wave Serpents. So if you take Fire Dragons, now actually another unit, Falcons goes up in priority because they're already good with the success trait that allows you to reroll 1 to hit into wound from Psychic Awakening. And then you can get value out of them through utilizing the Fire Dragons.
Hmm.
I don't know enough about Eldar to even make a point about it. But yes, I'll go for yes. How's that sound?
Yes.
Feel good about that?
Yes.
Feel good about that? Yeah.
Sorry, me and Tom will teach you about Eldar one day.
Yeah. As the worst 40k player in the team during 8th edition. And that's
you didn't
okay.
play any 40k by Rob.
I went to like 5 tournaments. How dare you? I am very excited about playing 40k. Like this time around, like I am, I really, really am, and like, and also lots of the problems that we had, well, I had previously for playing, like didn't have a venue nearby, sort of a situation, and there wasn't tons of love for the game, are all gone away. So I'm very, very excited about just playing, to be honest, experiencing some of these changes, seeing what's going on, and hopefully rolling with the punches. But again, it's really hard for me because I'm one of those people who likes to be a bit meticulous and learn everything that I can learn, and I feel like a little hampered at the minute. So probably just roll some dice and have some fun at the start and see how I feel. But I feel like the knife edge, that's why I had that conversation about 40k, about the terrain, sorry, is I feel that 40k has got a real, like, there's a real you're dead now situation in 40k. It's like, you're fucked. And that you can't really come back from. So, you know, we'll see how it goes.
I think one thing we haven't touched on in the core discussion is that the fact that HQs like Smash Captains don't buff themselves anymore.
Oh yeah, that is. I love that. I think that's excellent. Yeah. So that 2s rerolling 1s, which was always just so obnoxious, It's just like, why do I, like, why not just say
why
hit?
Bother?
Yeah, why bother? I actually love that. I think that's so brilliant. I'm really, really into that. Like, so, Tom, what do you think?
Love it. That doesn't make any sense. Oh, I'm here, therefore I do better. Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
Like, maybe it's got
every,
my kind of
every Space Marine captain is like such a massive ego. He's like, oh my god, I'm so great.
I mean, I guess if you're a Space Marine captain, you probably do
so great at smashing things with this hammer.
I think that's an excellent change, and it also means like even like, you know, your Silent King character, let's say he's a beast in combat, for example, not affecting his own auras. Knights will be interesting, like whether or not like the aura for knights. Well, there's no aura for knights, is there? I'm sure there's an aura for knights.
There is Canis Rex, which gives you some, and a preceptor, which are shit, and you don't take them.
Yeah. Okay. So that one doesn't affect them.
It
doesn't make sense for custodies. That's good, right? So yeah, that's true. Custodies being impressed by other custodies is pretty unlikely.
I don't know, man. I've seen some of the JoJo's references.
But still. In the actual narrative. That's a good one, Nick. Not affecting Smash captains is going to be important. Silent King, when he comes out, will probably buff people around him, but not himself. Oh, Gazgul?
Yeah.
Does that mean Gazgul won't affect himself?
Oh, that could be fun. I don't know. I mean, if orcs aren't getting a book for a while anyway, then it's like, probably won't. We'll see the FAQ, I guess.
Yeah, I guess.
I think it'll be okay. I think you'll be all right.
Yeah, I just want Gazgul running and charging like a loony.
It'd be a shame if I think they've gone through the effort of FAQing him to affect himself now. It'd be really weird if they went back on that in their new codex. And
just get the community him again. To agree with you, and then they can't FAQ him back.
That's true. Oh, Morty. Oh, yeah. What about Morty and Magnus not buffing themselves?
I don't know what the buffs they give. Are they just rerolls?
Reroll ones on psychic tests for Magnus, and reroll ones to hit for Mortarion.
Is it also reroll ones to wound for Mortarion as well, because he's got that warlord trait?
I don't know, mate. I just know the
things that his is Arch Contaminator takes plague weapons that normally reroll ones to wound anyway, up to reroll.
Ah, that's it.
Reroll everything.
Yeah, reroll everything.
Does that affect a model or a weapon?
The plague weapons. Affects plague weapons.
So, do you get core weapons?
Cool. Oh, interesting. Interesting. Yeah, that'd be fun.
You might
be what you're taking? Just regular weapons. How many do you get in the actual box?
Is it a core weapon?
Is it a core weapon? Do you get enough in the box? No, I don't.
Is it a mastercrafted or is it a mastercrafted?
I like mastercrafted weapons as my main
favorite weapon. Yeah.
A Silent King not buffing himself. That'd be a fun one. Tyranids.
Is he basically going to be like Caitacross, but for 40k?
Yeah. Or Nagash.
So we get to see him sat at the back of a board for three turns doing nothing.
No one plays it like Speckles. It could be like Nagash. It could be like Nagash, I think, would be.
I don't think it'd be like Nagash.
You think he's going to be more of a Catacross character?
Yeah, I think so.
Probably, yeah. Directing things from the back, defo.
That's interesting. I think we're going to see some big model updates this year as well, over the next year. So I think, again, that really like changes how the game looks. Where it's just like we don't really know what's going on with armies, because got to be some more Eldar stuff at some point, because like those they're not just doing a random Blood of the Phoenix box. It's just being like, oh, we've made some more of these. You're like, what about the rest of the range? It's like, oh yeah, we haven't. It's like, you fucking liars. you definitely didn't like have a spare afternoon and just knock out a couple of fucking incubi. Or not incubi. What did they do?
They did Howling Manchies.
Yeah,
that was it.
Yeah,
they didn't Howling Banshees, didn't they? It was in the same kit.
Sorry, Tom, you closer.
It was in the same section, wasn't it? It was Howling Banshees and Incubi with Jane Zahr and Drelzhar.
Yeah.
The plastic kit. Yeah.
They didn't do just them, did they? They weren't like, we'll have this on a Saturday afternoon. Yeah, because I'm just doing a bit of overtime, and then they just knocked them out. There's definitely a whole range there. Definitely. All right. Well, we don't really have much more to talk about on that subject. Then we should probably call it a day.
Yeah, sure.
It's kind of interesting. You guys got any 40k that you'll be playing this week?
I don't know. We might have to sort out again.
Yes. Yes. What about you, Nick?
How dirty would you like to go on?
I've not got any games booked in yet.
Oh, baby. Would you like a date with Destiny? Yet. Ring, ring, Nick. Ring, ring.
Hello.
It's Destiny calling.
Oh, my
Well, I answered its call.
That's from one of my favorite cartoons, which is called Bolt. If you guys have never seen
that. Is that the Disney one?
Yeah, it's brilliant. You should watch it.
Did you watch that in a cottage in Whitby?
I did not watch it in a cottage in Whitby. I should, though. yeah,
all the best holidays in Yorkshire.
Did anyone see the update that someone did for 8th edition where they were like, these are all the new models that were released in 8th edition for the different factions.
Tom posted it in the WhatsApp, didn't he?
Yeah, so funny. So it was like, what was it, like three for...
I could probably get it for you guys.
It was probably like an average of five for most factions, but then Marines had 62.
62! Right.
we can leave it on this note. I'll get the images.
Yeah, go on, read it out. This will be the one.
I'm trying to work out which chat we put it in, because we have a few, don't we? Yeah, let's have a look. Let's have a check on this next chat.
Have you checked in Ram Ranch Rangers?
I don't think I'm in Ram Ranch Rangers.
Oh my god, you should join Ram Ranch Rangers.
All right, okay, it was a tweet by @DiceyJune. And this is 8th edition is closing. Let's see how many new model sets were released in 8th. Custodes, 5. Admech, 2. Admil, I don't know what that is. Adeptus Militarum. 3. Adeptus Sororitas, 15? Chaos Space Marines, 15. Demons, 22. Dark Eldar, 2. Death Guard, 20. They had lots of characters, though. Eldar, 3. Genie Stealer Cults, 20. Grey Knights, 0. Knights, 5. Necrons, 1. Orcs, 9. Marines, in letters, in 4 caps, 62. Tau, 1. Tyranids, 0.
Yeah, the Admech one's wrong, because they got more than that in that last wave. But generally, 62 for Marines.
Not that far up.
But wait, there's more.
Oh yeah, because more are coming
more.
Out. There are more coming out.
It's got that weirdy land speeder looking thing with the guy who's got tinnitus, you know.
Yeah, what do you two think of the Marines? The new ones.
The new models.
Yeah.
I'm not super sold on the new land speeder thing. The new thingy tank, what's it called? The Gladiator. It looks alright.
Can we just call it generic Marine Tank 1?
You could, but we're calling it Gladiator now. And actually, all of the speeders have got different names, Nick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Every time you move it, you have to make the theme tune to the 1990 show Gladiators.
The main one?
I don't fucking know.
Gladiator! sorry, Nick, you were saying?
I think I like all of them apart from the land speeder thing. I'm not super sold on the land speeder thing.
Okay. What did you think, Tom, of them?
It looks like Marines.
You're not impressed?
I could put a wolf pelt on it and use it in my army. And that's about it. Okay. The wolf pelt would improve it immeasurably.
By making it into a space wolf?
Wolf, yes. Volker Fenrica, yes.
I just didn't...
The reason why I don't like the speeder thing... Yeah. Is because it doesn't look like it can go very fast.
Well, because it's got some big boys in. Is that why?
Yeah, it just looks big, chunky, and heavy. It's just like a land. It just looks like the Gladiator tank, but with like some missiles on the side and a spinny turret on top.
That's
like
okay.
The old land speeders were smaller, a bit lighter armored. They had a couple of weapons, and they looked like they could actually go fast. Eldar tanks. They look like they're really fast, and they could genuinely go really fast. Mm-hmm. But this new land speeder thing just looks like it'd just be ponderous, just bobbing along, shooting stuff. So it doesn't really look like a land speeder. But maybe it's not meant to be a land speeder. It's just like an airship thing. I don't know.
Mm, that's okay. I like them big and I like them chunky, so I should be okay.
Yeah, we're still awaiting the Primaris plane that we have not seen yet. There's got to be a plane coming at some point. So maybe this takes up the role. But yeah, I agree with you. It's super weird because it should be like a fast assault vehicle, right? So having room for a third Marine is just like additional weight on something that should be designed to be fast.
Mm-hmm.
Which is weird. 3D print covers for it, another show box plane. Oh, yeah. I'm removing the turret guy. The speeder, says Sircon, our regular, our concurrent tank expert, has said it should never have a third guy in the turret. And that's the one thing that kills it. Yeah, it's super weird. Mm-hmm. A Primaris Overlord plane has been in the lore for 3 years. Ooh. So, and then also there's got to be more Primaris groups as well. Definitely. All right, well, all right. It's been a pleasure talking to you, Nick and Tom. Thank you.
No problem. Thanks for having
Pleasure talking to you and the chat as well.
Yeah. Thank you to everyone in the chat. Mamdare, big love to you. Can't wait to talk to you tomorrow. Ziggy, big love to you. Thank you to both of you for donating some subscriptions and to Hypnokraken. Thank you to Sircon, Retta Stanty. You guys are all brilliant. Thank you to everyone on the Oswald Gamer Patreon. Can't thank you enough. You guys make it so that we can do this for a living. You guys are great. So thank big ups. Podcast guys, stay hydrated. Nikos, Tom, any shout outs before we go?
Shout out to Gersey.
Gersey? Okay, mixing it up. I am going to shout out.
Go on. Give him a shout out.
Gozzy!
Hey!
Lamar.
See you guys later. Have a good day. Bye.
Bye.